We bring you Living Prophecies, the old, old message in modern language. Today we're reading from the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, had another vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of great tribulation, wars, and sorrows. And this time he understood what the vision meant. "When this vision came to me," Daniel said later, "I had been in mourning for 3 full weeks. All that time I tasted neither wine nor meat, and of course I went without desserts. I neither washed nor shaved nor combed my hair. Then one day early in April, as I was standing beside the great Tigris River, I looked up and suddenly there before me stood a person robed in linen garments, with a belt of purest gold about his waist, and glowing, lustrous skin. From his face came blinding flashes like lightning, and his eyes were pools of fire. His arms and feet shone like polished brass, and his voice was like the roaring of a vast multitude of people. I, Daniel, alone saw this great vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly filled with unreasoning terror and ran to hide. And I was left alone. When I saw this fearful vision, my strength left me, and I grew pale and weak with fright. Then he spoke to me, and I fell to the ground face downward in a deep faint. But a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And I heard his voice. 'O Daniel, greatly beloved of God,' he said, 'stand up and listen carefully to what I have to say to you, for God has sent me to you.' So I stood up, still trembling with fear. Then he said, 'Don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in heaven. It was answered the very first day you began to fast before the Lord and pray for understanding. That very day, I was sent here to meet you. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the top officers of the heavenly army, came to help me, so that I was able to break through these spirit powers of Persia. Now I am here to tell you what will happen to your people, the Jews, at the end times, for the fulfillment of this prophecy is many years away.' All this time, I was looking down, unable to speak a word. Then someone, he looked like a man, touched my lips, and I could talk again. And I said to the messenger from heaven, 'Sir, I'm terrified by your appearance and have no strength. How can such a person as I even talk to you? For my strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.' Then the one who seemed to be a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. 'God loves you so much,' he said. 'Don't be afraid. Calm yourself. Be strong. Yes, strong.' And suddenly, as he spoke these words, I felt stronger and said to him, 'Now you can go ahead and speak, sir, for you've strengthened me.' He replied, 'Do you know why I've come? I am here to tell you what is written in the book of the future. Then, when I leave, I will go again to fight my way back past the prince of Persia, and after him the prince of Greece. Only Michael, the angel who guards your people Israel, will be there to help me.'"
Does Jesus care when my heart is made to deflate for mirth and sorrow? As the burden spreads and the care spreads and the way grows weary and
I was the one sent to strengthen and help Darius the Mede in the first year of his reign. But now I will show you what the future holds. Three more Persian kings will reign, to be succeeded by a fourth far richer than the others. Using his wealth for political advantage, he will plan total war against Greece. And then a mighty king will rise in Greece, a man who will rule a vast kingdom and accomplish everything he sets out to do. But at the zenith of his power, his kingdom will break apart and be divided into four weaker nations, not even ruled by his sons. For his empire will be torn apart and given to others. One of them, the king of Egypt, will increase in power. But this king's own officials rebel against him and take away his kingdom and make it still more powerful. Several years later, an alliance will be formed between the king of Syria and the king of Egypt. The daughter of the king of Egypt will be given in marriage to the king of Syria as a gesture of peace. But she will lose her influence over him, and not only will her hopes be blighted, but those of her father, the king of Egypt, and of her ambassador and child. But when her brother takes over as king of Egypt, he will raise an army against the king of Syria and march against him and defeat him. When he returns again to Egypt, he will carry back their idols with him, along with priceless gold and silver dishes, and for many years afterwards, he will leave the Syrian king alone. Meanwhile, the king of Syria will invade Egypt briefly, but will soon return again to his own land. However, the sons of this Syrian king will assemble a mighty army that will overflow across Israel into Egypt to a fortress there. Then the king of Egypt, in great anger, will rally against the vast forces of Syria and defeat them. Filled with pride after this great victory, he will have many thousands of his enemies killed, but his success will be short-lived. A few years later, the Syrian king will return with a fully equipped army, far greater than the one he lost, and other nations will join him in a crusade against Egypt. Insurgents among your own people, the Jews, will join them, thus fulfilling prophecy. But they will not succeed. Then the Syrian king and his allies will come and lay siege to a fortified city of Egypt and capture it, and the proud armies of Egypt will go down to defeat. The Syrian king will march onward unopposed. None will be able to stop him. He will also enter the glorious land of Israel and pillage it. This will be his plot for conquering all Egypt. He too will form an alliance with the Egyptian king, giving him a daughter in marriage, so that she can work for him from within. But the plan will fail. After this, he will turn his attention to the coastal cities and conquer many, but a general will stop him and cause him to retreat in shame. He will turn homeward again, but will have trouble on the way and disappear. His successor will be remembered as the king who sent a tax collector into Egypt, but after a very brief reign, he will die mysteriously, neither in battle nor in riot. Next to come to power will be an evil man, not directly in line for royal succession. But during a crisis, he will take away the kingdom by flattery and intrigue. Then all opposition will be swept away before him, including a leader of the priests. His promises will be worthless. From the first, his method will be deceit. With a mere handful of followers, he will become strong. He will enter the richest areas of the land without warning and do something never done before. He will take the property and wealth of the rich and scatter it out among the people. With great success, he will besiege and capture powerful strongholds throughout his dominions. But this will last for only a short time. Then he will stir up his courage and raise a great army against Egypt. And Egypt, too, will raise a mighty army, but to no avail, for plots against him will succeed. Those of his own household will bring his downfall. His army will desert, and many will be killed. Both these kings will be plotting against each other at the conference table, attempting to deceive each other. But it will make no difference, for neither can succeed until God's appointed time has come. reading from Living Prophecies, the Old, Old Message in Modern Language. Today we've read from the Book of Daniel. Now here's a special invitation to join us again next week at the same time as we continue to read from Living Prophecies.